Chronicles now transmitting.
Welcome to the Tate Chronicles on Healthcare Now Radio. And now, here's your host, Jim Tate.
Good day, citizens of the free world, from border to border, coast to coast, and to all the ships at sea, I bring you a warm welcome. This is your correspondent, Jim Tate, and thank you for tuning into the Tate Chronicles. Join me as we cut through the fog that exists at the leading edge of healthcare technology. Our mission is simple. We're searching for beneficial disruption in healthcare from emerging technologies and processes. My guest today is Jenna Yost, who is running things at the Discover Alliance. She's the interim president there. Jenna, thanks for joining us today on the Tate Chronicles.
Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Yeah, interoperability is something that's really something I'm involved with on a daily basis. So an opportunity to speak with somebody also involved with it is always a blessing. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you became involved in the Discover Alliance, Jenna.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I've actually got a background in project management and program management, but in terms of actually cutting my teeth in the health IT industry, I went to work for a health IT organization about 15 years ago, and obviously I'm not going to walk you through the whole 15-year process, but that organization, though, they really got me involved in the standards development world. So I started working on some standards development activities with HL7 and OMG, and that was also where I learned that you can have an entire conversation speaking in nothing but acronyms. So that was quite the learning experience. But while I was with HL7, though, I got connected with the folks at Open Health Tools. And Open Health Tools was an industry alliance that was really focusing on open source technologies for the health IT industry. And so while I was there, one of the projects we launched, it was called OLHIE, and that is O-L-H-I-E, and it stood for the Open Library for Health Information Exchange. And the OLHIE project, it was really focused on sharing information across state lines for the state HIEs. This is how I got connected with Mark Jacobs, who has been very involved with the Discover Alliance. But within OLHIE, though, our focus was less on data exchange, and it was more focused on really everything else. When you think about everything it takes to effectively and efficiently run an HIE, there's so many lessons learned and so much information that can be shared across the state lines. So that was really what we were wanting to focus on was, you know, what are the requirements documents that you guys can share, and what are your lessons learned and your best practices, and, you know, have you done vendor analysis that can be shared? And so so that was really what we were focusing on. We also developed, I use the term we very loosely because I'm not a developer, but the team developed a very rudimentary platform to allow the state HIEs to upload their information that they were interested in sharing. And it really allowed them to start sharing their information. And as is the case with any project, though, you know, we didn't really have a sustainability model wrapped around it. There wasn't a business model. When Open Health Tools closed its doors, the project just kind of disappeared, unfortunately. So fast forward 10 years, and Mark Jacobs calls me, and this was about 2 years ago, and Mark says, Jenna, we got to resurrect this work. And so we started having some dialogue around, okay, what are our lessons learned, and why wasn't this successful the first time around? And we recognized that it did need a business model wrapped around it, needed a sustainability model wrapped around it, and we had to expand the scope. We recognized that interoperability is more than just HIEs. We also still think it's more than just data exchange. So we really wanted to open that aperture and launch an organization around this. And during those few years, I had been very involved with Direct Trust, with some other health informations, with Commonwealth Health Alliance. So I'd spent a lot of time on the industry alliance side, and that was an area that felt like home to me. So it was just a very natural transition for me. Mark was on board. So then at that point, we just had to identify, you know, who's also going to have this kind of interest and this kind of passion that would want to build a platform. And that was when we kind of found our third leg of the three-legged stool. And that was Vince Albanese with Haven Health Solutions. And they have built out this very robust, beautiful platform. And they have donated the code to Discover Alliance so that we could use that as our platform. And I just gave you a very long-winded answer to your short question.
No, but that's very... that's very interesting. It brings up a question for me. And so Discover Alliance is really a nonprofit, I guess, or not-for-profit mm-hmm. organization whose mission seems to be to allow entities involved in interoperability to exchange what they've learned, best practices, due diligence processes, things like that. Not having to reinvent the wheel.
Bingo. And okay. Actually, the piece about not having to reinvent the wheel, that's the part for us that is most important. We recognize that there is so much information out there that's so valuable, but being able to find it can really be challenging. And you're correct also, we are a 501c6. We're a membership trade association and industry alliance. We did launch as an industry alliance because with that kind of a model, we were then able to put the ownership of the platform back in the hands of the membership. So that way it's not owned by a for-profit. The trust is there, the transparency is there. And again, the folks at Haven were kind enough to donate the code to us.
You mentioned the original kind of model was based on HIEs.
Right.
And so HIEs are not competitive, but I imagine that you may have some of the early adopters who are involved with you, with Discover Alliance, who are in competitive stances. Is that, and how do you deal with that? And, you know, make sure that, if they're competitive, are they really going to be sharing the information?
That is a fantastic question. Yeah. And it was Sheik that we connected with very early on. They have stood by us. I mean, since the very earliest of days. And what's interesting, though, is that it was actually at the ONC annual meeting a year ago that we had our first meeting with the Sheik members, and we told them, this is what we're thinking about. This is a concept we've been kind of toying with. What are your thoughts? And before that meeting, we were kind of floating this idea around a few of the HIEs. And once we got to the meeting, one of the HIE executive directors said, you know, at first I wasn't really sure about this, but then I discovered that I have just spent tens of thousands of dollars building out a service only to discover one of the other HIEs already offers the same service. I could have leveraged that service. I could have saved myself the time, the money, the effort, and it's a win-win for everyone. So what we're seeing, you know, within the HIEs, there's not so much a concern about competition as much as they're recognizing that there is work that's being done by their colleagues that they're not even aware of. There's no way to be made aware of this. And for them to be able to leverage what's being done, is there's great mm-hmm. value there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's take a couple of steps back. The whole issue of interoperability. There was a time when I worked with a medical practice a few decades ago where the first step of interoperability was taken, which was probably the introduction of fax machines. So mm-hmm. that may have been the beginning of interoperability. It certainly wasn't the exchange of electronic data, but it was exchange of data. Where do you think we are in the whole trajectory of healthcare interoperability? And are we halfway through it? Are we a third of the way through it? Is it going to be 10 years before we really have what we think we might need? Always interested to hear opinions
on
that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are absolutely making great strides. And I tell you, I see what Direct Trust is doing. I see that they have pulled together the majority of the country's HISPs, and they've connected them within a trust bundle. And I see also what Commonwealth Health Alliance is doing and how they are getting their EHR vendors to share health data on a common platform. I mean, these are all fantastic examples of interoperability. Same thing with Sheik. You know, their HIE members cover more than 92% of the U.S. population. These are statistics that truly point to great strides in interoperability. But I think the piece we're missing, though, when you look at true industry-wide solutions, things like prior authorization and those problems that are plaguing this industry at large, we've still got a long way to go. And I think we've got to take a step back and recognize that this is not a problem that requires a technology solution. This requires getting all the different players at the table. So we've got to look outside of just our current industry segment. So this is more than just, again, it's more than just a technology problem. We've got to get at the table. We need the payers at the table. We need the providers at the table. We need the HIE at the table. Possibly someone from accreditation, they might need to be at mm-hmm. the table. But that is what we're wanting to do is pull together all of these different players from the different industry segments and start bridging the gaps and starting that dialogue among the different industry segments. So we want to be the table.
And there really is a need for that. You've got to, in some respects, technological aspects have been addressed head on. We don't have all the plumbing, but we've got a lot of the plumbing. But right. with your background standards, you've been involved and in seeing how file formats have been standardized, whether they're medication codes, RX norm codes, or clinical summary documents, CCDAs, or immunization file structure. Those things have pretty much been put down in cement. We have those.
Right.
But for a lot of folks, if they go see their primary care physician or even go into a hospital, in the majority of cases, there's no information being brought down from anywhere, except I would say maybe the leader right now is if they're hooked up with a system that accesses SureScripts, they can pull down a medication history, which is something.
Sure.
Right. And so those HIEs, I guess that's the new version of what used to be called the Regional Health Information Organizations. I guess that's what it was, the RIOs, mm-hmm. Which went by the wayside because there was no business underlying structure to pay for them. And the federal government has given the HIEs a big boost. But the HIEs are still somewhat regional. And so to get them all communicating, it sounds like you've had some background in that. But another thing I want to touch on is the cultural aspects. To get providers to trust data that they pull down from a HIE or from another physician, it is a generation ago, no provider got data from anybody else. There was just no way to exchange
right.
it. And so this, as you kind of mentioned, trust is a big thing that the data that will be coming out of HIEs or through other peer-to-peer provider exchanges, that data can be trusted. And, people's health is at stake. So there's a cultural aspect of this also, sociological aspect of it.
Without question, yes. And like you said, I think we've seen a big transition. We've seen a big leap from one generation to the next. And I think we're in a generation that is much more likely to trust the data and trust the technology behind it. You know, there's some incredible data quality teams that are making sure that the data that's in the system is correct and accurate. You know, we've got making some headway on patient matching. So, you know, all of these are more technology-based problems. And, you know, and so much of what we're wanting to do is make available to the public or make available to the providers or make available to the payers, you know, make them aware this is the different kinds of technology that's out there. Are you looking for a technology that does A, B, and C? you know, we can be that wayfinder for you. So if you're looking for specific technology that accomplishes some specific mission, come to us and we can point you in that direction and show you, you know, these organizations have this kind of technology. It might be something you've got an interest in, but it allows you to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges.
The iNavigator platform, I guess, which is the software platform that, is Discover Alliance creating content or is it just pointing to relevant content?
Yeah, great question. So the iNavigator platform was actually originally called the Living Library, and you'll see content on our website that speaks to the Living Library, Living Laboratory. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the Living Library, you know, it goes back to that whole OLLI project. But we recognize that it's no different than when you walk into a library, and there is a wealth of information there. But you have to have a card catalog to tell you where to go. Without a card catalog, you walk into the library aimlessly. You have no idea where your information is going to be. So that's the role the iNavigator platform plays. It is just the pointer. It's just the card catalog. One question we get from a lot of people is, you know, well, do you compete against the National Library of Medicine? Do you compete against these other databases, these other libraries? Absolutely not. We don't store any content. Mm-hmm. All we do is provide the pointer so that, you know, again, if there's something specific you're looking for, if you want to know how some problem has been solved in some specific region, you know, just type that in and you'll identify, you know, these are the different organizations that have contributed to solving that problem. These are specific use cases. These are case studies, technology vendors that provided technical solutions, et cetera.
Sure.
So, yeah.
How are you building those links? I mean, is there some type of, you know, elevated Google search, or are these, you know, do you review things and then decide what people can access? How does it work behind the scenes?
Right. So in terms of behind the scenes, I would have to have Vince Albanese on the call to answer some of the more challenging questions. But I can tell you the platform was, it was well over a year in the making. We had so many conversations and so much dialogue with different industry leaders and the different industry segments to really understand, you know, how can we make this platform valuable to you? And based on the feedback and information we got from them, what they have built out is a platform that, you know, the HIEs said, we want to share some information specifically with the other HIEs. We want to share other information with the public. Direct Trust and some of these other organizations, they were interested in using the platform for a very different purpose. And so being able to build something out that would work for everyone took some time. But we got there and we landed on it. And, you know, now we've got little radio buttons where you can share information internally to your team. You can make it public and share it public with, you know, with the entire audience. But in terms of the technology that's behind the scenes, I can tell you that it's built on blockchain technology. Mm-hmm. And it's extremely, extremely robust in terms of the search capability. Every word is indexed. So even if you upload a PDF that might be a case study or a use case, every word within the document is going to be indexed.
Okay.
So if somebody, it's incredible. If somebody does a search and there is a phrase or a word or something within a PDF, it will still return that information as well.
And so is the iNavigator platform live now?
You know what? It just as of about maybe end of last week, just went live.
Is any portion of it available to the public, or is it just for members of Discover Alliance?
So the search feature is available to the public. We are right now working with some of our early adopters to help them, get the content loaded. We're working with Direct Trust right now. There's a few different areas, a few different ways that they're wanting to use the platform. Mm. We have an onboarding call with ENAC this afternoon, working with Sheik. We have a couple of pilots with them underway right now. So anyway, in terms of the timing, it has just launched. The search is open to the public once we get some content entered. But if you want to actually contribute content, you do have to become a member of Discover
sure.
Alliance.
Certainly.
I will say, though, we have kept the barriers of entry extremely, extremely low. So the cost to participate is an exceedingly low fee. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, beyond the Navigator platform, I understand that Discover Alliance is playing a virtual town hall for too long. What's that about, and who's going to be the participants, and who's the audience?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So this is something we're actually really excited about, and something I might have touched on earlier is that, you know, our goal is to cross industry segments. We recognize that there is some great work that's being done to break down silos within these different industry segments. You know, what Commonwealth is doing for the EHR vendors and Direct Trust for the HISPs and SHEIC for the HIEs. What we're wanting to do is bridge the gaps between these different industry segments. So what we're doing for the town hall, our confirmed panelists, so it's going to be a virtual town hall scheduled for Wednesday, March 25th, 2 to 4 Eastern. And the confirmed panelists right now are Lee Barrett with ENAC. He's focusing on accreditation. Scott Stewie with Direct Trust, so he'll be able to focus on the push mechanism. And actually the topic for this one is TEFCA. So Scott Stewie, though, with Direct Trust, can focus on push. Paul Wilder, the executive director for Commonwealth Health Alliance, he's there to focus on the query mechanism. Kelly Thompson from SHEIC, who can focus on the HIE perspective. And then we are still waiting to hear from a couple of other potential panelists. I know that Chuck Jaffe with HL7, he's trying to rearrange his schedule so that he can attend, but we have not yet heard if he's able to make that happen.
Is registration open yet for that, or?
It is not. It is not open just yet. So we are we are actually in the final stages of working through the platform and the registration process and some of those behind the scenes logistical type things that have to be kind of worked through. So I am hoping, though, that we will have the registration link available within maybe a week.
Okay, great. That's fantastic. The URL of Discover Alliance, where I guess the registration is going to be.
Yeah. So if you go to discoveralliance.org, that will take you to the main website, and then we will have the registration link on the homepage. In addition to that, I know that our confirmed panelists, they're all going to have the registration link posted on their websites as well. And there's going to be a pretty huge marketing effort that surrounds this. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities to find out about it.
Well, March is also the month of the HIMSS conference in Orlando. Are you or anybody affiliated with Discover Alliance planning on being at HIMSS this year?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm going to be there. Mark Jacobs, he's the chairman of the board. He'll be there supporting Den, but he's always a huge advocate for the work that we're doing. I'm not sure if Vince will be there. He's the vice chair. But I want to say the rest of our board members are likely going to be at him.
You know, most folks in the industry do go there because everybody kind of goes there. So if somebody wants to get more information about Discover Alliance, what's the best way for them to reach out to you or to the organization to get some more information?
Absolutely. So they can contact the generic email at info@discoveralliance.org. They can reach out to me directly at gyost, and that's G as in George, Y-O-S-T, at discoveralliance.org. And if you go to the website, there's also just a contact us button there as well.
Okay, great. We've got a few more minutes, so here's a question I always like to ask people, Jenna. What do you see are some of the largest challenges in interoperability today?
Wow. You know, I think we probably have most of the pieces of the puzzle already. Good. I think that we probably have many of the tools. I think the challenge is figuring out where they are, what they do, how to piece them together. But when I look at I mean, we have really moved the needle, and there have been so many advancements made, and so there's some phenomenal technology out there. I think the problem, though, oftentimes can be a matter of finding it. You know, who's developing mm-hmm. the specific kind of technology? How can I plug it in? Where has it been effective? And I think this whole discovery mechanism is really part of what's lacking right now. I mean, we're largely left with Google and Hims. We either have lots of conversations at Hims and ask people, you know, do you know of anyone who's doing this? Where can I find them? Or we have to just spend our time in front of Google, hoping we hit on the appropriate search word.
Well, you know, it's I don't know if it's a pun or not, but we need interoperability on interoperability information. Because that information is itself in silos. And so bringing it all together is a noble effort. It's really what's needed at this time.
Agreed.
I should ask you at the very beginning, Jenna, when was Discover Alliance kicked off? How old are you?
Yeah. So we actually launched the organization. We incorporated in March of 2019.
Okay.
So we're still pretty small. I will say, though, looking at our board of directors, that was for us one piece that was extremely exciting was standing up our board. And we have representation. And again, the piece for us that was so important was making sure that we had representation across all of the different industry segments. So on our board, we have Lee Barrett, who's the executive mm-hmm. director for ENAC, Michelle Bruff, who comes from Cerner Corporation, Joe Fisney, the associate CIO for Geisinger, Brian Heffron, managing director for Calibrated Health, Vince Albanese, who I mentioned, who's the CEO for Haven Health Solutions, Mark Jacobs, who's our chairman of the board, he's the CIO for DIN, Scott Stewey, the executive director for Direct Trust, and Kelly Thompson, the executive director for Sheik.
You know, that's a strong board that you have there.
Dynamic, yes.
Yep. Jenna, we're totally out of time, so let me take the opportunity to thanks for our audience for joining us on this episode of Tate Chronicles. I offer a special salute to my guest, Jenna Yost of the Discover Alliance. Jenna, thanks for coming aboard today.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. This was great.
Yep. You can find more information on the show's program page at healthcarenowradio.com. Until we meet again, here's wishing you smooth sailing and safe harbors.
Tate Chronicles transmission ending now.